Welcome to the Save Your Marriage by Restoring the Man podcast, dedicated to all the men who are going through marital problems and want to save their marriages, with host Arturo Henriquez and sponsored by the Fortified Spouse.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. Before we get started, please, if you like this podcast, if you like these episodes, please leave your rating. Please leave a comment. It helps with the algorithm, which allows us to reach more men who are going through marital problems like yourselves. And also, if you want a private complimentary call with myself, go to www.fortifiedspouse.com/call, C-A-L-L, and we will talk about your particular situation. Again, it's complimentary and it's in private. So let's jump into this episode. So maybe it was the last fight, or maybe it was something that happened, maybe infidelity, or some other event. And many times I hear people, when they talk about what happened to their marriage, point to a single event. They point to this, you know, this event, and they believe that that event is what ended their marriage. And they get very focused on that one event. So a lot of times I hear people say, well, you know, my spouse wants to leave me. Yes, I was unfaithful, and that's where she changed her mind. And I don't understand how to get beyond that event. And sometimes I hear about that big fight. My spouse has said that that's it. I'm not going to have any more of these arguments. I'm leaving you because of that fight. And sometimes they don't even say because of that fight. Sometimes they just say, I'm leaving you. And it's the end of a fight, or at the end of some other bungled interaction, some mistake along the way. And somehow those events begin to be the belief that this is what caused the whole crisis. Those nodal moments, those tipping point events begin to be held as the reason why the marriage is failing. And there's a fundamental problem with that. If you get focused on one event, you're missing the possibility for what needs to happen in order to save your marriage. You're getting focused on something that is an event, something that is in a moment in time, but not the process of how you got to that point. So we talk about this as the tipping point, or we talk about it as the last straw, or as the gut punch. And I like both of those images because they hold something in our mind. But they miss all the other pieces of that puzzle and all the other straws that happened before that. Let's talk first about that image of the tipping. And it brings me to the image of the Grinch that stole Christmas, the book, the movie, the TV show, right? The Christmas time show. And if you remember, the Grinch has decided to steal Christmas. And so the Grinch has gone into the village and stolen all of those presents and decorations and loaded it all up on the back of the sled. And that poor dog had to pull that sled up the mountain. Up and up and up and up they went, right? And the Grinch is so caught up in the fact that he succeeded at his plan to steal Christmas that the Grinch doesn't realize that they're coming to the top. The precipice of that mountaintop, the moment, you know, the summit of that moment. And so they've just been climbing and climbing and climbing. That poor dog has been whipped and pushed and is pulling that up. And then they get to that place, and then the dog flips over the side. And you see that sled just kind of moving back and forth, tipping, about to fall, you know, over to the other side, tithering on top of that summit. And finally, they start down the hill. And there's a tipping point when the sled grabs hold and takes off and chases down the dog. And you see that moment when it all changes. All that uphill slog suddenly begins to be a tipping point, a change. And I always think about that balancing point, that moment. Now, the Grinch wanted that moment to happen, the tipping point. And the Grinch is trying to make that sled go over so he can get away with all of that stuff, all that Christmas stuff that he had stolen. But I think about those moments when they're all tipping points, and we keep pointing to them as those problem situations. Not long ago, I was talking with a person who was not going to be able to return to college because of his grades. And I was talking to this person, and they were talking about how their parents were not going to let them go back because he had failed too many classes, and they weren't going to be able to go back. And they were very frustrated at this point. And I didn't understand why their parents wouldn't give them another try. And I said, can I ask you a question? Are those grades representative of your work this whole semester? And this college student said, well, I guess so. And I said, is this an indication of your commitment to being in college? And the person protested that that wasn't the case. And yet the grades were representing just that. And I said, did you have a good time this semester? Were you busy doing stuff? Did you have parties? Did you maybe do a little more social stuff and less of that study stuff? And he said, well, yeah, I probably did. And so I said, you know, your grades and the final grades really are the tipping point. But I wonder if what your parents are looking at is the process of how you got there. And they're using the grades. So you're hearing the grades because they're the indicator. They're a moment in time. They're a snapshot. They're a symptom of what's been happening the whole semester. Well, that's the same thing that happens in any place in life where we have that moment, that tipping point. You know, that to push yourselves over the edge. Maybe you have a job and finally you've had enough. And there's one more time when your boss is unfair to you. And that's the tipping point when you quit right there. Or maybe you have been going to a restaurant and the restaurant used to be good. And it keeps getting maybe not as good and not as good. And the service wanes and the service is getting not good. And the food doesn't taste as well. And there's something, you know, some moment, maybe they didn't cook your food right. Or maybe the chicken was a little bit too raw. Or the waiter, you know, didn't answer your question as nicely as you would have wanted. Something happened and you go, wait, I've had it. I'm not coming back. That's the tipping point. And we all have these tipping points. The other way of talking about this is the last straw. The last straw is a term you hear all the time. People say, oh, that's the last straw. And that comes from the great image of the straw that broke the camel's back. The idea is, and I've tracked it down, and it goes back for at least, you know, 1677 was the first time that I could find any reference to, you know, something similar in saying. And so it's got a lot of history to it. But when you're loaded up an animal, and I've heard the phrase said about feathers on a horse's back and stuff on a donkey's back and straw on the camel's back. And so there's all these ways of us thinking about that when you're loading up something and you keep adding to it. And so just think about this. For that camel, you're putting on the straw. That camel's got to haul that straw across the desert. And you keep on putting that straw on and you keep on putting it on. And at some point, you put one more piece of straw, just one more piece of straw, and the back gives. The camel can't carry anymore. Maybe the camel just lies down and gives up. But at some point, it immobilizes that camel and it's just that one last straw. It's just that one more piece. And the problem is that that straw, that's the piece that did it. And so part of what happens, we get stuck in that. Think of this image, you know, you're sitting there with a cup of coffee and you're filling it up. And so the saying is the last drop makes the cup run over. You keep putting in coffee and keep putting in coffee, but there's a limit. And at some point you put a little too much and over the side it goes, it overflows. Not only does that one drop go over the side, but sometimes it pulls so much more over the side. And that's just physics. And so there is that point when something isn't capable of holding anymore. And then we look at that place where we go, oh, it's the straw. Oh, it's the drop. Oh, it's that one more tipping point, that one place. And we tend to see this as the event, not an event, not the one that finally brought everything together, but the event. There's often this breaking point, a wake-up call, some event that is the turning point in a marriage where somebody says, I'm done. Now, notice that there's a lots of these turning points in a relationship. At some point, you're dating and you're getting along and things are going well, and then there's something that makes a shift. And I often hear about the things, maybe somebody went away for a while and you realize how much you missed them. Or maybe there was that extra little moment where you saw them do something nice. You know, I've heard many stories of people saying, well, I was watching this person and they didn't know I was watching. I watched how they cared for a child, or I watched how they cared for an animal, or I watched how they cared for their parents or some other event. And I realized that that was that person for me. It wasn't that moment. It was the buildup to that moment. And that moment just kind of cemented it. It solidified it. It ended up being a turning point. Turning points, breaking points. They are those moments when somebody, you know, something shifts. You might not be able to even point to why it shifts, but there's a shift that happens there when everything suddenly changes. So why does that matter? Well, it matters in your process of saving your marriage because sometimes those turning points are seen as the focus, the moments you have a big fight, and so now you're trying to get back from that fight. Or there's an act of infidelity and you're trying to solve the act of infidelity, or there is some other indiscretion. Maybe there's some hidden funds somewhere or hidden expenses or an addiction somewhere or something that is, you know, that moment and you're trying to fix that piece. The problem is when we're trying to fix that piece, we're missing the bigger piece underneath. Those pieces, those moments, those turning moments, those pieces of straw, those drops in the coffee, you know, in the coffee cup, they are not the reason that things broke. They're the culmination. They're the last piece. We had this model about how stress affects people, and I believe that this is a very relative piece. And it's not an event. It's not something that finally stresses you out. It's the fact that we all have a certain amount we can handle before we're overwhelmed. And so it's not that piece. It's the fact that there were those other pieces that kind of filled up your stress level to the point where something else just needed to hit it and boil it over. And that's so true in all of our lives. It's not that one moment. In fact, if you look at our biology, that seems to be true about a lot of things. You know, I've heard people talk about what's a poisonous dosage or something, because you can take in poison in your body and it not be toxic to your system until it goes high enough. And then suddenly it's all toxic. Suddenly the buildup is so much that it gets there. So you may, for instance, have mercury in your body and it's just in the background. It may be slowing you down a little bit. It may be affecting your system, but it's just in the background until there's just enough to trigger it. And then there's a cascade of events in your body as it reacts to the toxins. Well, it's the same with relationships. There's a lot of buildup, a lot of moments of disconnection, a lot of moments of frustration and anger and hurt that build up until there's one last event. And here's where it gets interesting, because usually one person is aware of that it's final, you know, that final event for them. And the other person is blissfully unaware, thinking they've just had yet one more of those arguments that they keep having. They've just had yet one more of those setbacks that they have consistently had over the years. And they don't think anything has changed. And yet everything changes because it's not all in the background. They're just seeing that as a continuation. However, the other person is seeing it as the straw, the drop, that piece, that big piece that changed everything, the tipping point of the relationship. Almost always those notable events are not really the issue. They are an issue, but they're almost always a symptom. They're an event, they're a symptom, but they're not the event. They're not the problem. They are symptomology. For instance, let's talk about infidelity. You know, I've talked about this in the podcast, and I talk about this in the Fortified Spouse program, right? One of the fundamental beliefs about infidelity is there has to be a background to it, with one exception. That exception is somewhat rare. And that is if somebody has an addictive relationship with relationships or sex. If they have some addiction, you know, it's in their nature, then they may be really kind of dominated by that and not be so much a relational thing. But let's set that aside for a minute and let's talk about the normal. The normal is that we typically watch people who are disconnected, who have affairs, and so there's been a continual disconnection and a continual neglect of the relationship and of each other. And that builds up, and it doesn't matter who started or where it came from, but they have disconnected along the way, and that leaves a vulnerability in the relationship. The reason it leaves a vulnerability is because we humans are built to be in relationships. We humans are built to be in connection. And when we are not, we risk finding other places for that connection. We risk finding other places to fill that. And so then if we don't have boundaries to protect the relationship, then we might fall into an outside relationship that fools somebody into thinking this is love, when it really is an infatuation and really it's filling a lost feeling that's not there, that lack of connection. So it's a good way of looking at it around what happens with infidelity, because when infidelity happens, suddenly the focus is on that particular event, the event of infidelity. Suddenly the focus on the unfaithfulness, not the background that got it there. And you can't deal with the action. You can't get beyond the action until you face what is, what's behind it. As the climb up the summit, the tipping point may be that affair, but the summit climb was what both people did in their disconnection over time. So almost always the symptoms people point to, those big fights, those infidelities, those indiscretions, those bungled interactions, those secrets revealed, they are not the real reasons. They're the last straw. They're the last drop in the cup. They are the breaking point, the tipping point. However you want to think of it, they are that point. If you've ever tried to break a piece of metal, you might find that it's really hard to bend once and it doesn't break. And then you bend it again and it doesn't break. But a fault line is beginning to develop. And if you keep wiggling it back and forth, and I've done this many times with coat hangers, we'll be out camping and we'll need to cook some marshmallows and over the fire for some, for some s'mores. And so I'll grab a coat hanger and I'll start wiggling it back and forth. And at first, it's really hard. First, it's kind of a challenge. And then it gets easier and easier and easier, and maybe even gets a little heated up as it goes on. But if I keep wiggling it back and forth, it's going to break. I don't know when it's going to break. I don't know what the process is exactly, but it's going to break. And it's no different with a relationship. It bends, it bends, it bends, it bends, and suddenly it snaps. But we focus on the snap and go, wow, it failed, right? That coat hanger, it broke in half. What happened? Well, I've been wiggling it back and forth for some time, so there's no surprise that it finally happened. And it's the same with the relationship. There's no surprise that when we get lost in this, when we don't focus on the climb up, the summit, the straw that's been piled onto the camel, the coffee that's already been put in the cup, the places where we're approaching the tipping point, the last straw, the breaking point, the place where the cup overflows, we miss the opportunity for changing this. So that's why it's important to not get sucked into the tipping point, the last straw, as the reason why things have broken down. When that gets to focus, the issues behind it are ignored, leaving no room for healing in the relationship. And if the relationship is going to make it, it's got to find its healing place. There's got to be a healing and a reconnection there. And rarely does that healing or reconnection ever get moved forward by the process of pointing to the last straw. The last straw begins to be our focus because it's easier to point to. And it's more fun to point to it in some ways because it relieves most people of responsibility. So what do you do about that? Well, I would suggest that there really are three things to do about that. First, always see events as symptoms. Whenever we get away from seeing events as symptoms, we're close to that last straw. We're dealing with the straw instead of what are the other pieces of this. Maybe you got a camel that already had a weak back and you don't take as much straw, but there's something else behind. Always look at events as symptoms and ask, what is this telling me about the background? What is this telling me about what's underneath? So that fight you're having, it's a symptom. One of the interesting things over the years, when I see couples, right, and they're at each other's throats, they're angry with each other, hurt with each other, and I'll say, what's the first fight? And I mean the real fight, not the disagreements about where you should eat out or what movie you should watch or anything like that, but the real fights, the ones where you went, what am I doing here? And everybody's got a story about that. And usually the couple can both say, this is what it is. And what I notice is that story, that fight is the same fight they're having now. It's just got a different varnish on it and a different color paint on it. But it's the same fight because they never solved what was below it. They're dealing with the symptoms of the fight, but they're never getting to the issues of the fight. So my challenge is to ask, what is this event? How is it a symptom of what's underneath it? So always see events as symptoms and ask, what is this a symptom of? It's kind of like when somebody, a child comes to you and they have a fever. That's a symptom of an infection. So what's the infection? You're looking at what's not the fever that you focus on, but the symptom, right? What's interesting about this, let's even take this fever on as one of those, a lot of times what we immediately try to do is stomp out the fever. You know, a child comes in, they get a fever, and the first thing we do is try to stomp it out. Now, there's a danger of that fever spiking too high. But we also know that a fever is the body's way of fighting an infection. And so if we ameliorate that fever, if we take away the fever and don't deal with anything underneath it, it actually might allow that infection to continue longer than necessary just because we're not dealing with the root cause. Yes, there's a time to get rid of the fever and make somebody comfortable, of course, but it needs to be seen as a symptom of something underneath. So somebody has a fever and they go, oh, well, they have a fever. Let's give them something for the fever. It's different than saying they have a fever. I wonder what's behind that and what do we do about that so we can, you know, get to the root cause and heal that. So number one, see events as symptoms, because then you know that you're trying to address not the symptom, but the underlying pieces. Number two, that requires you to accept your responsibility and work towards healing it. Now, I'm not saying that you accept responsibility for everything that's gone wrong in your marriage and everything that's gone wrong with everything in life, but the place where you are responsible for what's gone wrong. And we all have those moments where we have some responsibility in how we've reacted, what we've done, how we maybe even initiated it, how we did not show up, how we disconnected, and other things we could have done better. So the second thing is to accept your responsibility and work to heal your role in the process. And number three is don't argue the straws. In other words, don't get caught up in trying to prove why the straw shouldn't have been the last thing. Don't argue about what that straw really was. Don't argue about the straw. Seek to understand what's underneath it and deal with that underlying piece. Now, you may have to mention the straw to get there. I'm not saying to ignore the straw to that tipping point, but don't argue about that. Don't make that your focus. Don't make that your place where that tipping point begins, you know, becomes the focus of, you know, the whole conversation. And you walk around trying to figure out how to solve the tipping point, the last straw, the last drop. Focus on what's underneath it. Focus on where things have gone out of hand already, where things have already gotten unhealthy, and begin to solve that. And remember, the primary place is connection. The secondary places is your own growth. And the third place is not knowing even where to go. Work to get away from the symptoms and concentrate on what's underneath this all. Work on the connection, and please have a plan in place so that you can execute this and save your marriage. Thank you for listening.
You have been listening to the podcast, Save Your Marriage by Restoring the Man. For further information, visit the Fortified Spouse at www.fortifiedspouse.com. Thank you.